Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with podcast number 59, your first marathon, part 4, race week, race day, and recovery. First, let's talk about the week before your race. Be careful to eat a healthy diet, which I hope is the norm anyway. Don't believe the hype about doing a lot of carb loading. Do change your proportions in favor of more carbs the last few days, but don't overeat. Remember, you're tapering, so if you overeat, you'll just pack on a couple of extra pounds and you'll feel it on race day. During the last few days, be especially careful to get plenty of rest. And, speaking of rest, first-time marathoners always worry about not getting adequate sleep the night before a marathon. As your race gets close, it will help you to have realistic expectations. And realistically, a good night's sleep the night before a marathon is extremely unlikely. When you were a kid, how well did you sleep on Christmas Eve, or the night before the first day of Hanukkah, or the night before the first day of school? You get the point. Don't worry about this. Seriously, I don't know any marathoner, no matter how experienced, who sleeps soundly the night before a race. I would say, on average, most people get 4 to 5 hours of sleep the night before. And it's not nearly the kind of deep sleep they'd like it to be. That's just because everyone, no matter how experienced, is too keyed up the night before a big race. Even if you get to bed early, which of course you absolutely must do, and which certainly is within your control, you can't control the fact that you're excited, and likely a bit anxious, about the next day. And depending on the marathon, you may be setting your alarm clock at 4 a.m. or even earlier. That's right, because due to the logistics of organizing thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of runners, the race instructions may advise you to arrive at the race site before 6 a.m., and in order to do that, you'll likely have to get up around 4. This is no big deal. Of course, a good night's sleep would be wonderful, but what is more important is that you get a good night's sleep the last few days prior to the night before the race. That is doable and much more likely to happen. Everything is relative. You'll be less bothered by this when I tell you that ultra runners, people doing 100-mile races, often run straight through the night. Not only that, they will have run 50 miles before that sleepless night and will have another 50 to go with no sleep before they cross the finish line. Now, that's not always the case. Many people do stop and sleep a couple of hours, but even that is certainly not a normal amount and likely not good sleep. Yet, they finish 100-mile races in around 24 hours. When you think about that, it makes not getting a great night's sleep the night before a marathon seem like not such a big deal after all. If it's a big race, you may be flying into town for the race. If the race is on Sunday, and most marathons are on Sundays, try to arrive on Friday, because traveling, whether by car or plane, can be tiring. If you can arrive Thursday, that's even better. Try hard to avoid arriving the day before the race, though. For one thing, if you know you'll be traveling on Saturday, you're less likely to get a good night's sleep on Friday night, and you may have to get up early on Saturday morning to catch your flight. This is a big problem because you want to get a good solid night's sleep on Friday night. That's the biggest reason I'd like you to arrive on Friday. You'll feel much less stressed and you can sleep in on Saturday. Of course, this is an extra expense and will require an extra day off of work, but just remember how much you've already invested in this race. I'm a big believer in making sure everything is optimal as possible. Control the things you know you can control. There's much to do the day before the race. You'll need to make final plans for race day attire. Keep a close watch on the weather forecast and plan accordingly. If you're traveling out of town for a race, be sure to take plenty of clothes for race day in case the weather changes at the last minute. Consider that even if it's very cold at the race start, you'll warm up a lot during the first couple of miles. Never wear anything you can't cast aside. Pack a long sleeve shirt or two if it'll be really cold. That can be thrown away. We call these throwaways because you literally throw them down along the race course. The same for a hat and gloves. Don't wear an expensive jacket either. There are some wonderful, lightweight, breathable running jackets, but these cost $80 to $100 and some cost even more. If you wear that, you're stuck carrying it for the remainder of the race, and you don't want to do that. You can always tie it around your waist, but really, do you want to run 18, 20, 23, 25 miles encumbered by that? Don't worry about what looks good. Focus on practicality. I won't elaborate more here, but you do get the picture, I'm sure. Have plenty of throwaways on hand, including gloves, which you can buy for a dollar at most gas stations. And by the way, I would never recommend wearing a long sleeve shirt as your bottom layer. Put that on the outside so that you can take that off and have short sleeves underneath, which is probably, in most cases, what you're going to want for most of the race. And one more thing. If you're worried about rain or about throwing down your jacket or outer shirt and then getting cold later in the morning, buy a trash bag, cut holes in it for your arms and head, fold it tightly, and tuck it away somewhere on your being. Women can easily tuck it into their bra. Men will have to be a little more creative. Trash bags make great windbreakers as well. Now let's talk about the expo. You'll go to the race expo the day before the race to pick up your race packet. Expos are great fun, especially if it's a really big race. But don't forget that you have a race the next day. Get in and out rather quickly. You don't want to spend a lot of time on your feet. Another advantage of arriving earlier, like to arrive at the race on Thursday, is that you can go to the expo on Friday, which means you can safely spend more time on your feet, even though you still don't want to be on your feet too long. Okay, next. Should you go for a run the day before the race? This will make little difference, really, in your ability to perform on race day, but it may help you feel better, less rusty. I think most people will be more comfortable in the first couple of miles of a marathon if they do a gentle shakeout run, which includes a couple of striders at race pace the day before the run. So I recommend it, but it's certainly not a necessity. However, it would not be a good idea to sit around with your feet up all day either. You do want to move around, but don't do a lot of walking or running or anything that's tiring. You want to mostly be resting, but you want to keep your blood flowing. And I'll mention here, if you go to a race that's out of town, that it's in a neat city, and you want to sightsee, save that for after the race. Don't do any sightseeing the day before. What about a massage? I would not get a deep tissue massage within the last week before a race, but I would get one about 10 days out for sure. What about the race course? Should you go out and drive the race course? I would say definitely not. That may surprise you, but I'll tell you, when you drive a 26-mile course, it will seem very long and likely only add to your anxiety about your first marathon. You are already committed, so I say just go out there and be surprised by every turn of the course. This will make it seem shorter, whereas driving it off in a car will make it seem longer. By the way, on some marathon race websites, they'll have a video that shows the turn-by-turn course. I wouldn't watch this either. Again, it will seem very long, and in the long run, I think these little videos may be discouraging for that reason. However, in some cases, there is much to be gained. For example, my group will be going to San Francisco this next July to do the San Francisco Marathon. On the race website, a running coach provides a great description of the various sections of the race course and its features. This kind of thing can be very helpful. Now let's talk about food. The day before your marathon, be careful to eat a healthy diet and be careful to avoid a lot of roughage. You don't want to eat a large quantity of food. You don't want to eat anything that's spicy, and you don't want to eat anything you haven't eaten the day before a long run. Eat too much or too much roughage or something that's unusual for you or spicy, and your digestive tract may ruin your marathon. I highly recommend eating dinner no later than 5:30 the day before. Then top off your tank with a snack at bedtime. Okay, you wake up and it's finally race day. You've been working up to this for about 6 months. You've made it. It's the day of the race and you're ready to run. You stuck to your schedule, you're tapered, you ate appropriately over the last several months, and you were particularly careful to eat properly and stay hydrated the day before the race. Now it's payoff time. You're going to rock this race. Eat breakfast when you get up. Eat what you have found works for you before a long run. If you like to drink coffee, go ahead and drink coffee, whatever you normally drink the morning of a long run. Then you don't need to drink anything else before the race if you went to bed properly hydrated. If you feel thirsty, drink, but that usually means you were not properly hydrated the day before. Don't drink because you think you should. You may find yourself in 3 or 4 potty lines during the race if you do. During the race, what you eat and drink and when should be predetermined by your evaluation of nutrition on your long runs over the past couple of months. In this way, nothing is left to chance. Some people will find that drinking a little water and a goo right before the race is good for them. It helps them, maybe. That's fine. What I'm saying is do what you have found works for you. The number one rule of thumb on race day is don't try anything new. Not new socks, clothing, shoes, food, race strategy, not even a new race watch. Now let's talk about race strategy. I tell my runners to always try to negative split any race. To do that, you have to start out slower than feels comfortable. That may sound counterintuitive. You probably thought I'd say to start off at an easy, comfortable pace. Well, here's the rub. When you're properly trained and tapered, an easy, comfortable pace will for sure be faster than you should be going. You need to slow yourself down for the first several miles to let your body warm up. Remember, on this day, you're going to ask more of your body than ever before. Doesn't it make sense to go extra easy on it in the beginning? If you go too fast in the first 6 miles of a marathon, you'll be running the last 6 miles. You'll be ruining the last 6 miles in the process. Let me repeat, if you go too fast in the first 6 miles, you'll pay for it in the last 6 miles. You'll know whether you failed or succeeded in the marathon in the last 6 miles. Don't set yourself up for failure by running hard early on when you're feeling great. Do not think, well, I need to keep my pace up early on when it's easy, and then I'll just try to hang on when I get tired. That's actually a very bad strategy. Just ask experienced marathoners. That never works. Go slow enough in the first few miles that your body is enjoying a very easy, gradual warm-up and not feeling any stress. You're saving it, coddling it for now, because you're going to ask a great deal of it in a couple of hours from now, more than you've ever asked for before. If you have trained appropriately and tapered properly, then you're going to feel superhuman during the first few miles. You'll look down at your watch and say, wow, I'm flying. This is a great pace, and I feel fine. This is nice and easy. I'm not wearing myself out even. Be careful if this is what you find yourself thinking. The problem is that because you're properly trained and tapered, it's easy to go too fast early on. You need to slow yourself down, even if you feel like you're not pushing too hard. You should know ahead of time what pace is appropriate and do not let yourself go faster than that. You should have your pace carefully planned well before race day. This is where having a running coach helps tremendously. Your coach will know you and what you can do and what you should do. Listen to your coach. I cannot emphasize this enough. Remember, this is your first marathon. Don't run it like you're trying to qualify for Boston. Your number one goal is to finish without getting injured. There will be other marathons, and they will provide plenty of opportunities to run a faster time. You will set a PR in your first marathon for sure. Remember that. One caveat here, though. If you are a very serious runner and have been running well for a long time and already have very fast half marathons, it's possible to qualify for Boston in your first marathon. I've seen it happen several times, but these are special cases of very talented, highly trained runners. Most people should not even consider that option. Again, if you're working with a running coach, the coach will know whether you're in that category of runner or not. Now, what if you get to the point of feeling like you have to stop or walk during the race? That's fine. Go ahead, but do so with a plan. If you feel like you need to walk a little bit, I guarantee you're going to feel it again, and probably again and again. Don't just decide you'll walk whenever you feel you must. That's not a plan. Instead, when you get to the point that you feel you must do some walking, have a plan for how you'll do it. You might say, okay, I'm going to walk 1 minute at each mile marker. This, I think, is a good plan because in a big marathon, you'll be able to see the mile markers far ahead of time, and they'll have the effect of pulling you forward. Or maybe you decide you'll walk 30 seconds at each mile marker. Or maybe you'll walk 50 steps or 100 steps at each mile marker. You might decide to walk at each half mile. That's fine too. But the big point here is to have a plan and stick to it. Do not just say, I'll walk a while and then I'll run some more. This is too vague and will likely lead to too much walking, which is very slow and which you'll probably regret. Now, I don't mean to suggest that doing a walk-run pattern is a bad idea. Many people do all their marathons this way, but it's important to decide that early on in your training. So then you can train the way you plan to race. That only makes sense, right? For an explanation of how to do this, go to Jeff Galloway's website. He's the person who popularized the walk-run method, and thousands of people use it with great success. Okay, last post-race. Get some protein into your body, preferably within a half hour of crossing the finish line. Of course, you'll want to get off your feet fairly soon, but don't stay in any one position or spot for too long. It's better to get up and walk every little bit. During the next few days, stick to walking. You will feel like you should run. That's because you've been marathon training so long that your brain tells you that you're doing something wrong if you don't run. It'll be telling you that you're cheating, that you're lazy. Don't listen to it. I recommend not running for several days, but walking is very important. Walk a mile the day after the race, and then build up to a couple miles for the next several days. After a few days, start adding in some gentle running segments. If you're not experiencing any discomfort, you can then build up gradually, but keep it very gentle for the next whole month. This is one of the biggest mistakes first-time marathoners make. They refuse to give their bodies ample recovery time, and the result is that it may take 2 or 3 months to get back to being at 100%. Give yourself a whole month of easy running and you'll be 100% much sooner. And by easy running, I mean no speed work. That's right. Focus on just gentle miles for a while. Your body will thank you. Do get a post-marathon deep tissue massage, but I would wait a week before that. You could have a gentle post-race massage a day or so after the race, but wait a week before a good deep tissue massage. So, that's a good overview in 4 parts of the information I feel is most important for first-time marathoners. It would be easy to write a whole book on the topic, and many have. If you do want to read a whole book, I highly recommend Hal Higdon's book titled Marathon. It is good to know as much as possible, but as you read articles, blogs, etc., please do not be deterred or distracted by speed work, exercises, etc., that are geared toward experienced marathoners. Even if you've been running a long time, this is your first marathon. Do not skip to an advanced training plan unless you're already running half marathons in the same speed range as people who regularly qualify for Boston. Now, before I leave this topic of first-time marathons, I want to reiterate the top 3 mistakes first-time marathoners tend to make. 1, not sticking to their schedule. A marathon is serious business. Take it seriously. Do not blow off your workouts. 2, if you have an injury or seem to be developing one, take 2 or 3 days off to see if that will take care of it. You must respond to injuries sooner rather than later. 3, don't go out too fast on race day. That's it. Now, the number one rule for your first marathon is to have fun. And remember, you will PR. And if you find yourself saying after the race, one and done, after you finish, believe me, you'll change your mind. Mothers almost always swear off childbirth every time they give birth. But it doesn't take long before they're talking about that next baby. Look how many big families we have. One time I talked to a friend the evening of her first marathon. I asked her what would be her next marathon. She said, "Oh, no, no, I've heard you shouldn't even talk about another marathon for 24 hours, and I'm sure not ready to." I said, "Okay, no problem, that's fine," and I congratulated her and hung up. The next morning when I logged onto Facebook, there she was, already asking, just 12 hours later, for recommendations for her next marathon. And so it goes. Okay, that's all for today, and all for marathons for a while. I appreciate those of you who've listened who never planned to do a marathon. Hopefully there were still some helpful takeaways. Now we'll get back for other things that would be appealing to more of the listeners in the next few episodes. I have one huge favor to ask. If you enjoy this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you would go to iTunes and leave a review. Those reviews are extremely helpful to me, and I very much appreciate them. Also, if you know anyone who is wanting to become a runner, but who has not yet become a runner or is just starting out, please have them check out my new podcast and my new website, The Beginner Runner Village. The podcast is also on iTunes. And now, today's quote. "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." That's by Jim Rohn. So, if you want to run a marathon, spend time with other people who want to run marathons, or with people who regularly run marathons.